In my desire, I wanted to not be standing here at this point today. But God's desire must have been different. I would like to have just been a big altar service from this point on and just weeping and crying before the Lord. But I guess God wanted me to preach. Psalms chapter 1. I've got a bunch of notes, but I'm probably going to not preach from any of them. So that's the way it is, I guess. God just told me to cut it straight to where it needed to be. So Psalms chapter 1, is that where y'all are at? Blessed is the man. Y'all see that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Man, that kind of covers everything, don't it? I mean, you can't walk, can't sit, can't stand in those places. Amen? So if you're walking with the counsel of the ungodly, that means if ungodly people are telling you what's right and what to do, you're not supposed to be walking and listening with them. Amen? It's the ungodly does not stand in the way with sinners. That means you're not standing in the places where sin's taking place. If you're standing there, you're standing in the wrong place. Amen? This is my favorite one. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Whew. Sitting with somebody who just sees it as scorched earth. Everything's bad. Everything's going bad. Everything's going to be bad. And ain't no good. Ain't nothing good. God ain't good. God ain't this. Listen, get up. Move seats. Sit next to somebody that knows the hope and the joy and the peace of God. Amen. But the delight, listen to this. This is the blessed man. The blessed man, his delight is in the law. And is in the law that, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Some of y'all are looking at this and go, why in the world would a person delight in the law? Why would a believer, why would somebody who loved God sit and look at the law and say, man, that's good. Don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't commit adultery. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Don't have any false idol. Why in the world would anybody rejoice in that? Because I don't have to live up the law anymore. When I read over the law, I understand who took the law's place. His name was Jesus Christ. I put all my faith and trust in Him. And the law that was against me is now for me. So therefore, I rejoice in the law. And I meditate on it. Man, and then what's great about that, when the Holy Spirit gets in you, you'll run into something that's against the law of God. And the Holy Spirit will then turn you from that. That'd be a good message, but that's not what I came to preach. Verse 3. But his delight is in the law. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4. I'm going to come back and preach the whole thing about verse 3. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. If the ungodly waits long enough, they will be blown away. Do you hear what I'm saying? If the ungodly wait long enough, I woke up this morning and God put this in my spirit. He spoke this directly to me when I got up this morning. He said, some of you are resisting arrest. Paul said, I have been apprehended by God. And I'm trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended me. Apprehended means being arrested by something. Some of y'all are felons on the run. You're running from the only thing that can save you. You come to church, you hear the message, you feel the Spirit, and you try to make it through this until you can get out those doors. And if you wait long enough and you resist hard enough, at the end of this life, you will be blown into eternity, separated from God, into a place called hell. That's a fact. We don't preach about it anymore in 2019. We don't talk about heaven. We don't talk about hell. We just talk about living a good life. God doesn't care if your life is good or bad. All He cares about is whether you're saved or not saved. Whether you're His or not. He'll get the glory out of a good life, or He'll get the glory out of a hard life. Some of you should say amen to that. Some of you in this room could raise your hand and say, life's been hard, but God's got glory out of it. And some of you could in this room could say, God's been pretty good to me. And he's got glory out of that too. Yes, amen. Amen? We think sometimes in our lives that God is sitting up there and all he wants to do is save the mess that you are and just put a stamp on you and let you live any way you want to. That's not the way God works. God doesn't save the old sinner. What he saves is that spirit in you, and he creates a new creature in you. And guess what? For the rest of your life, you've got a war going on the inside of you. Your flesh man wants to do one thing. Your spirit man's over there going, I don't want to. And it's crazy. Ever since I got saved August 28th of 04, I have had a civil war going on the inside of my brain and in the members of my body. Whew, golly, I wish I... That's not what I come to preach. Can you feel the pull? It's hard to pass up so many of these good verses. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I hate to tell you this, and 2019 is hard to preach sometimes because we all think we're going to heaven no matter how we live. God says in his word, there's two places. Amen? And the godly and the ungodly will not be in the same congregation. They will not be in the same place. They will not show up. So, I've been to many funerals, and I've seen people live their life out in full sin and come to a funeral, and everybody's trying to put them into heaven. I hate to tell you this, nobody can do that. You can give a preacher, a microphone, and he can about put you in heaven and put you in a spiritual place. But guess what? If when you took your last breath, you are not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And I don't care if everybody on this earth sends balloons, cards, pigeons, everything up into the sky. Guess what? If you didn't get saved, you're not up there. Whew. I wanted a better message for you this morning. I'm sorry. I'd like for you to walk out of here and go, man, it was a good day to be in the house of the Lord. But I'd rather you walk out of here and say, I know I'm saved. Yes. That's right. That's what I'd rather you do. Yes. That's what I'd rather you do. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I got to looking at this verse 3, Psalms 1, verse 3. And this is where I got the title of my message. I think we can be four trees, four kinds of trees. Matter of fact, this is what I'd say. If you are a Christian this morning, you would want to be four kinds of trees. See, in this verse it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river's water. He didn't say what kind of tree. He just said like a tree. Amen? And I got to thinking to myself, I'm like a tree. Amen? Planted by the river water. Amen? Sometimes you can't see where my help's coming from, but it's coming. Amen? But I wanted to think like this. I wanted to think about four different kinds of trees that you can be as a Christian. Hopefully you'll be all four of them. But you pick. God give them to me. The first one's a fruit tree. Fruit tree. Man, a fruit tree is easily identified. I hate to tell you this, but it's true. A fruit tree is easily identified. Whatever fruit's hanging off the outside of that tree, you know what you call it? You call it by whatever fruit's hanging off the tree. It's simple. I know. I think simple. But if you walk into an apple orchard and you look at all the apples, you don't go, man, look at those oranges. Amen? If you do, people think you're weird. And if you go to an orange vineyard and you go in there and you say, man, look at all those bananas. Somebody will think you are bananas. Amen? But you typically call the fruit by what you see. You call the tree by what you see. So guess what? People genuinely call you by the fruit that you produce. And I know you like to say stuff like this, don't judge me. We're not judging you. We're just inspecting. Amen? That's a Christian term. If you've never heard it, it's good. I'm not judging you. I'm just inspecting your fruit. Amen? But the truth be told, I'm just looking at what you're producing. I'm calling what your fruit is.
I'm just saying that in the root and in the vine, there's something that's producing what you're living. Amen? Whew. But then I wanted to ask this question. If you're a fruit tree, do you have anything to offer this world that's good?
Do you know a fruit tree can save your life? A fruit tree can bring joy.
A fruit tree can just fill you with nourishment. A fruit tree is beautiful to see when all the fruit's there. Amen? Are you that? Are you that as a Christian? Are you fruitful? Amen? Are you a sour fruit? Are you an old Granny Smith? Oh, gosh. Hope there's no Granny Smiths in here. There might be. No, matter of fact, there is. There's several. See you after church. Be sweet. Be kind. Be joyful. Be something that somebody wanted to entreat. Be something that is valuable to people. And when they find you, they can find a word of joy, of hope, of peace, of salvation, of mercy, of grace. Because if you're not producing fruit that presents you as a Christian, you're not one. You're just not one. When you got saved, when you got born again, you know, on that date you tell everybody, I went to church and I got saved. If nobody ever says, yeah, since that day, you've been totally different. You were producing this fruit before. You were a liar. You were a thief. You were in trouble. You were depressed. You were anxious. You were hard to deal with. You were mean-spirited. You were an adulterer. You were doing stuff that you shouldn't have been doing. You were a gossip. Oh, gosh. But since then, you won't be a talebearer. You won't lie. You won't steal. You won't sleep outside of marriage. Man, you're a totally different person. You are producing different fruit. That's what Christianity is. It's not a date on the calendar that you tell people that something happened to you and there has never been a change since then. And if that bothers you to your core this morning, if that shakes you at your core and you're sitting there going, I'm mad at you for saying that. Don't get mad at me. Come get saved. Just come get saved. And you won't be mad at me. You won't be mad at God. You'll be relieved. Because there's a lot of people in this room. You're talking about a day. I did it for 30 years. In 1986, I went to an altar and I said a prayer and absolutely nothing in my life ever changed. Not one word, not one action, not one thing. I went home for about 4 days and tried to be different. August 28th of 04, I became a fruit tree. Because guess what? As bad as I wanted to do some things, there was a still small voice on the inside going, no. That's not who we are. We're going to start telling the truth. Before I got saved, I had a truth problem. I couldn't tell it. Hey, man. I had a sex problem. I wanted to have sex with everybody but who I was supposed to have sex with. I don't know. Oh. Y'all don't like his stuff, do you? It's true. Guess who I was about? I was about me. It was about me. When I got saved, it was about other people. That's what it was about. When you get saved, people will say stuff like, you're not the same person anymore. You've changed. And most of them will be the people that you don't have to tell them. They're just watching you. Amen? I started thinking about this. I want to be a fruit tree, but I also want to be one of those trees in life that the redwood trees. You know, have y'all ever seen those pictures of redwood trees out in California? Is it California or Washington? Both. Thank you. I'm getting smarter by the minute. The redwood trees are huge. They're huge, and there's so many of them. And they're all in together. But you know what I read about them? And you know what's surprisingly about them? What's so surprising? Their root system is surprisingly shallow. I thought, what? How could all that tree be supported by a shallow root system? They're shallow, but they go out for a long ways. And you know what they do? They intertwine with the other trees. Oh, come on. They intertwine and tie themselves into the other redwood trees. So automatically I said I wanted to be a redwood tree. Amen? Because they say in some of the redwood forest, there are some trees that should have been knocked down by the storms and rains and weather of life. But the other trees said, I ain't going to let you fall. Yes. I'm going to be strong for you. I'm going to stay right here with you. And I'm going to hold on to you. And I ain't going to let you fall. And you know what? There was a whole forest of them said, yeah, we won't let you fall. Can I tell you another one that's pretty cool about those redwood trees? There's some of them that are dead. And the only reason they're still standing, and the live one said, we still ain't going to let you fall. If we do it right, church, if we're a good redwood tree in this church, our vines and our branches and our roots will tie into each other. And if somebody comes in here spiritually dead, we won't let them fall. Oh, my goodness. You're dead, but we ain't going to let you fall. Amen? You ain't strong, but we ain't letting you go. Amen? I want to be a redwood tree so bad. I don't want to be super dependent on anybody, but I do want to be interdependent. Amen? I don't want to have to, oh, I'm totally dependent, but I want to be intertwined in other believers' lives. You know what you'll find if you're a good redwood tree in Christianity? You know what you'll find? A forest is hard to beat. A whole bunch of trees is hard to beat. Praise God, what I'm good at, you might not be good at. What you're good at, I might not be good at. But praise God, if we all tie together, man, the enemy don't see us one tree at a time. He says us, man, look at that big redwood forest. If I go in there, I'm not going to do very well. Amen? Because they're good together. Do you want to be that? That's what I want to be. I want to be somebody who's tied into other people. And I help them stand. And sometimes in their life, they help me stand. Because there's going to be both times. There's going to be times in this, if we do this right, and we do it long enough, one day you're going to want to fall, and somebody's going to hold you up, and some days they're going to fall, and you're going to want to hold them up. Amen? I want to be a redwood tree, don't you? That's the kind of tree I want to be. Then all of a sudden, I started reading in the Scriptures, and I started seeing there's another kind of tree, too, and it's a deep-rooted. The Bible says this. It goes, those that dug down and dug a foundation. What does that mean? They went deep. They went deep. So it started reminding me of another kind of tree. You know who they are? It's them crazy palm trees. You know where palm trees are beautiful, aren't they? Come on, some of y'all in here. You know what a palm tree means to most people like us? Thank you. Somebody's helping me preach. I'm from East Tennessee. I've lived in East Tennessee most of my life. I dipped down into Georgia for about 10 years to get my wife. That was it. Amen? Praise God. But I got that. So but most of my life, I've been spent in this region, mountain region. Praise God. I can remember when I was a little boy when we pulled up to a Hilton hotel at like 3 o'clock in the morning because Dad took us. Amen? Oh, never mind. Somebody else will get that later. If Dad's taking you to Florida, you're leaving at like 1 a.m. Man, you and the truckers. Y'all, go ahead, all right. But all I can remember is opening my eyes in the backseat of that car and I seen this palm tree flying. I said, man, I never seen one of them before. For the rest of my life, that meant vacation. Amen? You see them palm trees, that means you're in a total different area. You're in vacation. That means you ain't doing nothing but having fun, right? But see, palm trees, they stand on the front line of our coast and coast around the world. And guess what? They've got root systems that are so deep. They're half as long as the tree is tall. And you say, man, that's a little overkill on the root system until we have a hurricane or a bad storm. Amen? And those things are standing out there on the front line. And that wind's in, and them things will bend all the way to the ground. Everybody around them is looking at them and going, man, those trees ain't never going to be the same. They ain't never going to get up. Has anybody ever said that about you and your Christian wife? She ain't never going to get up. He won't never make it back to church after that. Had his feelings hurt. She was mad. He was mad. They did this. I have a problem. I don't think they're ever going to get back to church. I don't think they're going to get to serving God. I think they'll quit. I think they gave in. Man, the storm's raging. They're sick. They're broken. They're hurt. Somebody died that shouldn't have died. And guess what? You're bent all the way to the ground. And everybody gives up on you. Everybody evacuates. Everybody evacuates. Everybody leaves, seems like it, until the sun rises. Amen? See, when the sun rises, it draws the tree back up. And a tree that's bent all the way to the ground will begin to rise because it's drawn by the sun. I'm not a great speaker, but I tell you this. We don't start rising until the sun brings us up either. Amen? A lot of times, God will evacuate everybody. I remember the little girl had died away and her daddy went to get Jesus. Amen? Remember when her daddy went to get Jesus? He met him as soon as he came off the boat. Hey, Jesus, if your daughter was dying this morning, you'd do the same thing. He cut all them formalities. He went right to the source. He prayed right. Jesus, I need you. Not it's great to be here, not in formalities. I need you to go there and heal her. And I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to do anything else. I don't care if anybody else believes in you. Will you please follow me to the problem? And Jesus said something. Lead on. Lead on. The man turned around and started making a beeline through the crowd. Get out of the way. Jesus is coming. He's coming to my house. I've got a daughter who's sick. Get out of the way. He's right behind me. And Jesus only stopped for one thing. The little woman had an issue of blood. Could you see it? She touched him. Jesus stopped. The father's like, come on! They get down to the little girl's house, and there's some mourners there. Professional type. Whew. I think I've met some of them professional mourners. It's all they do is whine. Oh! He got down there, and they said, they got to the father right before he got to the house, and he said, there's no need to bring Jesus down there. You don't have a living girl anymore. You got a dying girl. Man, could you imagine where your heart would go? Your heart would be in the lump of your throat. Tears would swell up. And Jesus says something amazing. Don't listen. She's going to be all right. Keep walking. Some of y'all need to hear that. Keep walking. Keep walking for Jesus. What you think is dead and dying ain't dead and dying. It's about God's about to show out. He's going to show up and show out on something you thought was going to kill you, yet it's going to make it better. He gets there and he said, she's dead. He said, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Listen, the professional mourners became professional laughers. First time they laughed in years. Says they laughed him to scorn. Don't sit with the scorners. They said, you're crazy. God, I love this part. Y'all don't like this kind of stuff, but I do. Mark, I like this. Jesus is, he's just like me. He said, you know what he said? Get out. What? Yeah, he said it. We can't say it, but Jesus said it. He said, get out. You, and you, get out. And when they get out, shut the door. Some of y'all need to shut the door on some people. Because they keep discrediting God and talking about God like he can't. You need to say, hey, can you do me a favor? Will you just please? And when they're turned around and they go, you ain't ever going to just shut the door right in their face. And if it hits their nose, that's their fault. They should have backed up. Amen? Just shut the door on them. Yeah, he's in the house. If Jesus is in the house, see you. Because guess what? You got a dying girl in there, and you don't need a bunch of people in there that's telling you you can't work.
I got some things in my issues in my life that I need God to move, and I don't need people to tell me that God can't. I need God to tell me that He can. And all God's saying is, get them out of the house. I'm like, okay. Well, then Jesus goes up and raises her from the dead. Says, get up. You know what? It's funny. She was dead and sick. And the first thing they said, will you do me a favor? She's really hungry since she woke up. Will you go down there and get her an IV? That's not what he said. Will you go down there and get her some Jell-O? That's what you get at the doctor's, right? Will you go down there and get him some Jell-O? No, that's not what they said. I love this girl already. And Jesus. Go get him a steak. 24-ounce ribeye, bone in. You're not going to beat all that. Oh, yeah. This girl is dead. And all of a sudden, she raises up and she says, Jesus, I'm hungry. You know what he said? Good. Go get her a steak. And she sits up and she starts cutting her steak. Amen? And all of a sudden, she's laughing and her family's joy. And the people on the outside are like, what are they doing in there? What's going on? And all of a sudden, hey, the girl needs us. Go kill a cow. She hungry. Who's hungry? The mama? No, the girl is. We eating steak. I love it when people get saved. It's like eating steak. Amen? It's a pretty good thing. But the tree I want to be like is a palm tree. I want to have deep roots. I don't want to get hit by storms, and I don't want things to happen to me bad, but they're going to happen. What I hope is when I'm bent all the way to the ground and I got no strength, I just hope and know and understand that when it's all over with, God will raise me up again. Now, this last tree is not really a tree at all. It's kind of the last thing that God gave me, and it's pretty good. So that tree is, can you weather the storms? The redwood trees, or are you tied into everybody else? And the fruit tree is, do you have anything to give? But this fourth tree is not really a tree, but it's really cool. It's Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod is a different kind of thing. See, Aaron's rod was cut out of a tree and was used as a walking stick for years. Had no root, had no fruit, had no limbs, no nothing. It had been cut out and repurposed. But when God wanted to show His strength and His power in His men, in His priests, He said, everybody bring, every one of the tribes, bring your rod and lay them before me. And whoever's rod buds is going to be the priest. Oh, no, y'all. Yeah, I'm going to preach this. Y'all get it in a minute. So Aaron's rod, he laid it down. And the next day when they come to check them, it had leaves and flowers and almonds. Amen? It was a tree that had no root, no beginning, no end, no root, but had leaves, flowers, and fruit. It had been cut off, but all of a sudden, now it had a source that nobody could figure out where the source of growth and fruit had come from. So you know what they told him to do with Aaron's rod? Put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because everything in the Ark of the Covenant represents the one who is coming, the Messiah. And there's going to be one, my God. There's going to be one like the root of Jesse who has been cut off, yet after God. After they put him in the grave, 3 days later, he will flourish, he will blossom, he will grow, and he will feed everybody that needs him. Amen? So I thought about myself. I said, man, I want to be Aaron's rod too. I want to be a fruitful tree. I want to be a friendly tree. I want to be a tree that can go through the storms. But at the end of this life, I want to be an eternal tree. When I'm cut off and I'm laying in that box And everybody walks by and go, I'm so sorry. I hate that he's not here. I want somebody to say,
he's got more fruit and more flowers and more production than he ever has because he's got a source that's got him going past this life. He's like Aaron's rod. He's not alive here. He's alive there. Amen? When you thought he didn't have any more life, the headline will read this one day. So-and-so passed away and they are deceased. And guess what? It should read like this. They've never been more alive in their life if they're a Christian. That's what it should read. One of these days when we take our last breath as a Christian, we'll never be more alive than we are in heaven. Can you say that this morning? Do you have eternal fruit? Do you have that eternal hope in Jesus Christ that when you are cut off from this life, that you will have eternal life?
If you're not 100% sure, guess what? Today is your day. It's the day of salvation. Come on, Jody. Let's all stand. As she sings...